I'm Barry Farrell, Premier of the State, and you're listening to Who's Playing Who.
What up, I'm Benji Marshall.
I'm Gareth Ellis.
I'm Wally Tikiuri. And you're listening to Who's Playing Who.
Wow, winning.
And welcome to another action-packed, hard-hitting episode of Who's Playing Who. I'm Adrian McMurray, and thank you for joining us for yet another outstanding episode of this humble little podcast. And yes, it is episode 63, being recorded on this most famous of days, the 30th of January 2013, the day the 2013 federal election date was announced, and also Rhonda won an actor award. Welcome to the show. Joining me for this episode, first of all, Who's Playing Who co-owner, Matthew Trodden.
Thanks, Adrian. I just want to express the disappointment that Australia feels for Kutut, considering he didn't get a mention in the speech at the Actor Awards. Just devastating.
I've got to mention something about that in a sec. But let's get this man out first, Tomo Yee.
Adrian, Matt, always a pleasure, never a chore. Good to be back and excited for the show.
Yes. Now, you did mention Kutut there. I heard it. I don't know if you guys heard this. He did an interview with Ben Fordham, and he was talking about how he sort of came up with the lines in the ad, and he said it was all ad-lib. They just put them in the scenario, and away he went. And he's never done any acting before, and yet he has become a superstar. So I think he's been robbed as well.
Definitely robbed.
That's it. And the other thing I mentioned there, the election, September 14. Now, for those keen fans of rugby league, AFL, and the like, would have noticed that this falls on the first weekend of the final series, which has certainly posed some interesting questions for their respective broadcasters. Matt, you were pretty, slightly annoyed.
I am. I think it's the second week of the AFL finals. Remember, the first week of the NRL finals. So it would definitely be an interesting one. I'm annoyed mainly because I actually like to watch the election coverage, as boring as it is, and I won't be able to do that because I'll be watching footy finals. And really, if you have to travel anywhere, how can you, go to the polling booths and then have to go and watch a footy team as well? I mean, it's a bit of a stretch, I think, to expect that of the citizens of Australia, particularly of the Eastern Seaboard.
That's it. So you'll be hoping your team can secure a home final so you can actually not get fined for not voting as well.
Definitely. And I think in the battleground of Western Sydney, there is the luck of the fact that probably only two of the sides are going to make the finals, if that. One at least and two at the maximum. So it's probably not too bad for the battleground parts of Western Sydney.
Good to see Parramatta and Penrith will be making the finals this year.
Yep.
All right, we'll talk about the NRL closer to the season kickoff, but it's still the football season. The A-League, our match of the round this week, is the Melbourne Derby. That's taking place at Etihad Stadium, 7:45 Saturday night. And both sides coming into this game, interesting form. Victory certainly performing well in the Big Blue, which I guess is another derby of sorts. But Melbourne Hearts, what happened to them last week? Can anyone remember? Because I certainly can't.
Well, they were beaten by the Western Sydney Wanderers.
What? I was actually at that game.
Great memory, Adrian. Yeah, they looked devoid of answers after that game, and they've lost permanently Vinny Grella, who's retired after another sustaining an injury in the game against the Wanderers, his return game. So it's disappointing for them and for Vinny, a great servant of the game in Australia. We wish him well in his retirement. But I can't see them getting over the top of the victory after they kind of broke their derby hoodoo a few weeks ago at Amy Park. I think they were very good against Sydney FC, and they're building well towards the finals. Ange Postecoglou is working his magic, and I think they'll be a threat come finals time.
That's for sure. Yeah, they're pushing for top spot as well. Ellie Babel, she's definitely a big plus for Hart, but I don't think his inclusion will be enough for them. I think Melbourne Victory should do it easily, and that's just totally spun me out that I actually forgot where I was just a couple of days ago. So,
just to mention before you go to the loss of Aziz Bayic, he didn't play on the weekend, but he's been transferred over to Turkey, I believe.
Yeah, Bursaspor.
And it's a great move for him. Hopefully, I wish him good luck, but it's a big loss for the Heart because it was Jason Hoffman at left back on Saturday night, and Yusuf Hirsi ran rings around him. So it'll be very interesting to see what Jono Lewisi does there.
Yeah, they've lost both their fullbacks. Michael Moroni, I think, left earlier this month from memory. Bayic is gone now. So, yeah, the squad is certainly thinning out and the depth will be tested. Let's have a look at the EPL match of the round now. Manchester City host Liverpool. This is also at the Etihad Stadium, but this one's Monday at 3 a.m. So I don't think this will be the Victorian Etihad Stadium. That's horrible. Quickly, Man City, they blew an absolute great opportunity to pull back some room on Man United, finishing a nil-all draw with the 20th and last place side QPR. Of course, we remember what happened on the last day of the last season. It's a nice little rivalry between those two clubs, but Man City couldn't do it. Plenty of chances. Julio Cesar, very, very good in goals. Liverpool, their FA Cup tie didn't go to plan, but they've certainly got the league to focus on now. I'm going to go Man City. Too easy. How about you, Matt?
Yeah, I have to agree with you. I think they'll put up a bit more of a challenge than they did to Oldham in the FA Cup. But, I can't see them really getting over top of Man City. Man City seem to have these games irregularly where they can't put away those bottom sides. They'll, nil all draws most of the time. They don't normally get beaten, but they just can't seem to find the net, back of the net. And I think they'll probably take those frustrations out on Liverpool, unfortunately, for the Reds. Daniel Sturridge, an interesting one. He did spend some time at Man City in his youth or younger days. It'll be interesting to see how he goes, but I still think the Man City will be just too good at home.
Yeah, that's it. And also, like, Brendan Rodgers played a lot of youngsters in the FA Cup and then criticised them after the game, basically, for, not being up to scratch, which I thought was a bit of a dangerous sort of thing to do when you build these guys up in confidence, play them in the first team, and then strip them right down after the game.
Yeah, it's an interesting kind of strategy, really, because they were there to give them a run, but you've got to think that I don't know what's the FA Cup's done recently, because a lot of teams seem to be taking it a lot less seriously, and really don't, unless they make the quarterfinals, they don't start putting full-string teams in, and they really need to, because it's a competition that you can use your young blokes in early, but they have to be good enough, they have to be up to it, and you have to understand that if you put them there, they're there to grow as footballers, not to just win at all costs. So, yeah, it's an odd strategy, I think.
Indeed. Let's move along now to the cricket. And, of course, the next ODI series is against the West Indies, who are a very, very good side, especially in the shorter forms of the game. Current T20 World Champions.
Yep.
Yeah, that's it. They're just plenty of big hitters. So it should make for an entertaining series.
Definitely. They've lost Marlon Samuels, of course, of the injury he sustained in the Big Bash in that fiery game against the Stars. But they've still got, Pollard, Gale, Ramna Rashawan gets a return at the expense of Samuels. They also have the Bravo brothers, Darren and
Dwayne.
So they've got a great batting. Their bowling's a bit dodgy, as you probably saw, other than Kemar Roach and Sunil Narine. If you'd watched the Prime Minister's 11 game, they got beaten by the Prime Minister's 11, and their bowling kind of got a bit of a whack from a couple of just the unknown ACT players, Nuzman Khawaja and Alex Doolan as well. So it could be a chance for the Australian batsmen to find some form ahead of the ones that are going to India anyway, the head of the Indian tour, and maybe get some confidence back in. But their bowlers better watch out, because they've got some massive hitters, as you mentioned. And Andre Russell's another one, a good bowler, who hit two sixes of 105 and 111 metres in that tour game on Tuesday night. So he'll be one to look out for in this series.
For sure. A side that's been, well, I don't know, underperforming is the word. They've certainly been disappointing is the Black Caps. But in their tour of South Africa, they have turned things around, and we'll bring Tomo back in to talk about this one because, my God, did they actually win, or you know, are you lying to me?
It's kind of weird. Like, it's kind of dumbfounded. Obviously, earlier this we've talked about it on the show about the state of New Zealand cricket and what a joke it was basically been for the entire summer. And then, so the whole Ross Taylor sacking and McCullum being elevated to captain and Mike Hessen as the coach and the internal struggles, but, you know, yada, yada, yada. They then go to South Africa and win the first ever win their first ever series in any format against the South Africans, winning two of the three, the first two tests of three in the ODI series. And it's really weird that they won. I can understand Australia losing a test series, and that's really, think about it as if Australia losing a test series or something like that. That's how weird it seems, because, you know, Australian cricket's pretty strong, or, you know, usually are pretty strong, and New Zealand cricket's really not that strong. So for them to come out and win, they won that second test by quite comfortably in the end, because they somehow had South Africa had five runouts in that game, which is just unprecedented. That's a lot of luck and accuracy, and part of me wants to just put that down to New Zealand's superior field tactics and how well they field as a team, but really some of that's just dumb luck throwing it at the wickets, if I'm going to be really honest. And they almost won the last game as well, but lost on the last ball. South Africa needed three runs off the last ball, and then Ryan McLaren hit a six off it. So unfortunately couldn't get a whitewash series, but we'll take a series win against South Africa any day of the week, because we might not get it again.
Okay, is there renewed confidence in the Black Caps now, or are people still like, fluke?
I don't know. I mean, England's coming. I'm pretty sure England's coming for a couple of one days in a test series or something like that. So, I mean, we're enjoying it now, to be honest, because, you know, victory won't last long because we'll probably get spanked by England. But at the moment, the sun is shining and life is good with New Zealand cricket. It's kind of just put everything under the rug.
Sounds beautiful. What a lovely time. You know, it was all doom and gloom at one stage there, but it's now all looking rosy.
Yeah, world beaters now. Look out.
The NBA, the last time we spoke about this last week, the Lakers, you know, they had a bit of a rough patch, but again, much like the Black Caps, they've turned things around.
You know you've reached rock bottom when your team is being compared to the Black Caps in terms of sporting credibility and performance. But yes, you're right. The Lakers have had a terrible season to date, and I've mentioned so much on the show, but they've actually carved out a nice little win streak at the moment. They've won three games. They've beat a couple of teams ahead of them in the playoff standings in Utah, and of course the Oklahoma City Thunder with Kevin Durant. They came to Los Angeles and got a spanking by the Lakers, which was surprising because didn't know the Lakers had that much passion in them. And so basically what happened was they were on this three-game road trip and they lost all three, and they had this team meeting to air out their grievances, apparently. And apparently in this meeting, Kobe Bryant asked Dwight Howard, you know, do you like playing with me? He basically just, you know, they talked about the giant elephant in the room and just whether these two guys could coexist. And since then, they've won these three games, and Kobe Bryant has racked up 14 assists in two of the games, then 11 assists against the Hornets tonight as we're recording this. So he's starting to look like a point guard, and it's really weird because he's not known as a passer. He's known as a scorer, and he's basically just changed his game, and he's now passing and facilitating everyone. And Steve Nash, the guy they brought in from Phoenix, one of the greatest point guards ever, is now catching and shooting, and he's not hardly ever touching the ball at all. So it's one of those Freaky Friday situations which is going on. But, hey, the Lakers are winning, and so they're going to keep to this formula, and they head off now for their seven-game Grammy road trip, which they do every year because the Grammys come to Los Angeles and they take on the Staples Center, so the Lakers can't be there. So they're off traveling, and hopefully that works out. Just a couple other things. Rajon Rondo from the Boston Celtics tore his ACL, so he's done for the end of the year, which is a huge shame for the Celtics because they really need him for the season. And it was weird that they reported it because he thought he'd strained his hip or his hamstring or tightened his hamstring or something. And then he got a scan and then they're like, no, actually you've torn your ACL. So you're done for the season, which is a huge blow to the Celtics. But then they go out and beat Miami. That's another weird result. And then finally, a bit of trade speculation. The Memphis Grizzlies are looking to trade Rudy Gay, their small forward. And the big location at the moment is Toronto. So expect to see that trade coming in the next couple of days, assuming that the Raptors can find a third team to trade with to unload some of their bad contracts.
Just quickly before we move on to our highest rating segment on this podcast, I do want to mention that the Portland Trail Blazers did manage to knock off the Mavs today. Bloody LaMarcus Aldridge, 5 points in the final 5 seconds.
Oh, it was unbelievable. It was the first three-pointer he's hit all season.
For God's sake!
and then that happens, and then there's 5 seconds left on the clock. And then the Mavs get the ball, and then they can't score, so the Blazers get the ball back. And lucky I watched this before we recorded this, so I can talk about it. And then Portland inbound it to LaMarcus Aldridge, who just basically catches the ball, turns around and shoots it. I mean, he only had maybe a second and a half, just over an outreached arm, buzzer beater, game over. And he actually did it against Dallas last year. You probably don't remember it, but he did it in Dallas. He did basically the exact same shot. And they won that game on the buzzer as well. So he's a Dallas killer.
Is it safe to say that the Mavs aren't going to make the playoffs yet?
Yeah, it's looking pretty likely that, unfortunately, Adrian, that they're not going to make it. They are currently 11th in the West. They're actually behind the Lakers, so which tells you how their season's going. And they're not looking too sharp. But it's still – they've just passed the halfway point, so you never know.
Well, hey, at least they're not as going as bad as the Charlotte Bobcats. It's time for the Bobcat update.
All right. So, like I told you last week, we were debating whether to switch the Bobcat update to the Wizards update. But order has been restored, and Charlotte once again have the worst record in the league.
Thank God.
We will probably try and post this on the Facebook page or do something. But actually, the Bobcats won last week. They won this crazy game against the Minnesota Timberwolves, and it's the first time they've won at home in maybe, I think it's like 2 months or something. And they beat them on the buzzer with a three-pointer from Gerald Henderson. And basically what happened was this scrambled inbounds play, and they lost the ball like three or four times, and it goes into the backcourt, and then somehow the ball ends up in Gerald Henderson's arms, and he shoots this three, and they take the lead, and they win. But that's still terrible. They lost to Matt's Chicago Bulls the very next game, so kind of order's been restored in that regard. But yeah, the Bobcats are terrible, but they're still winning quarter of their games, one in every four. But yeah, they're still pretty bad.
It's better than the Titans, I guess, that record.
On that note, we will move on to this great segment.
Yes, put on your thinking caps. It's time for another edition of the Think Tank. Now, as we're recording this, I haven't actually told Adrian or Matt my idea. And this week, I've told some friends about this, and I've been throwing the idea around about starting a bar. And so I'm going to tell you boys what my idea is, and then I kind of want to see what you guys think about it or how we can improve it. And just a general idea. So basically what I've talked to people about is I want to start – you know what is really successful is our themed bars. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I guess, you know, bars – like, if someone came up with the bar from How I Met Your Mother, McLaren's, or, like, you know, the bar from Cheers, like, people would go to it. I think that's a novelty to go to a themed bar rather than just a, you know, your regular sporting bar or something like that. So my idea was to have a replica of a courtroom as a bar. I call it the courtroom. So basically, it's a courtroom-themed bar. So you know how the judges usually sit on an elevated level, like a mahogany desk? Yep. Well, a bar would be slightly elevated. That's where they'd serve the drinks. And the bartenders would wear judges' wigs behind this mahogany table as you walk in. All right? So you still with me so far?
Yeah.
You would – now, this is the big thing about the courtroom. You serve shots of alcohol out of hollowed gavels.
Yeah, that's a cool idea.
And then you could bang them. And then so I would also have waitresses, and they wouldn't be called waitresses. They would be dressed up like
bailiffs.
No. They'd be dressed like lawyers or like secretaries. So yep. Like, you know, the white college, form-fitting white college shirt with a, like, you know, with a skirt or whatever it is. But it wouldn't be slutty. It'd be the illusion of slutty. You know, they'd have to wear glasses, and they'd have to tie their hair up. And they wouldn't be called waitresses. They'd be called clerks.
Classy.
Yes, I know. So it's the illusion of slutty. And then so I would also... And then I would also have, like, behind the bar, you know, it's to the left would be the judge's chambers, which would be, like, a private cigar room or, you know, a private bar with a cigar lounge, and people could kick back. There'd be fake books along the walls that you wouldn't be able to read because they'd be stuck to the wall. And basically I would also have next to the bar would be, like, the witness stand. But what the witness stand would be like, I'd make a big show of it. It'd be like the specialized, like, beer bong or like funnel.
Yeah.
And that people like pay and are like an outrageous amount of money for like, you know, some crappy liqueurs that I put in there. But I'd make a big spectacle out of it. So I'd make everyone in the bar look, and I'd have a bailiff, which would be my security guard, come in with like a fake Bible, which would be like the Bible of the courtroom, and make them testify about whether they'd consume all the liquor and nothing but the liquor. And then, like, everyone would party it up and watch them consume.
Okay, that's cool. What about the where the jury sits?
I've thought about this, and I've thought about having an area where it'd just be the jury would sit, and it would actually just be 12 attractive females the whole night.
I would think that's your VIP section.
Yeah, but I feel like
you
jury,
pay for your. Yeah, but that's the thing. You pay for your, it's got to be a group of 12, and you pay extra to sit in the jury room or something.
And you have clerks come to them for drinks and stuff like that. But then they're just sitting there. It wouldn't be a big area.
Yeah, but they'd have to come up with something. You know, they'd have to have a judgment each. Like, you have to pay for yourself to create a judgment for the. They're the judges of the person in the witness stand.
Yeah, everyone must drink this now or something.
Yeah.
Like that. They can dictate what the shot could be.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Okay, I'm with you. The other final thing I'd have would be the dance floor, but it would kind of be, I'd call it the holding cell. So it'd kind of be like like a jail cell, but a giant square, and that's where people would dance. Only three of the walls would have, like, the jail bars. The other wall would be open for people to, you know, walk into.
It's hardly the most secure prison, but I guess for dance purposes, it's practical.
I like the idea. I think it probably would have to work near an actual court, so you might have actual, you know, lawyers and magistrates who might like to drink there.
Yeah, the question is, how classy does do you think this establishment needs to be? Because it could be really trashy.
Oh, I think you could go
quite classy.
You could go quite classy, I reckon.
Yeah.
In the middle, somewhere in the middle.
Because there is going to be the judge's chambers, which is either going to be a cigar bar lounge or a brothel, depending on which way.
But you'd also have, like, the you could do it near a student. You could have it as a student bar, so it's a student law.
That's a good idea.
Oh, I think we've certainly explored a number of great opportunities there. And if you have any suggestions or something you'd like to see incorporated into Tomo's bar, you can, of course, find us. I'll give you those details in a second, but I think that's us for the thing.
Really looking for investors, more than anything.
And a licensee too.
Yeah. Not so much feedback. I think we've nailed out the idea. I think it's solid. But looking for a Kickstarter.
Great. You could do that. You could. Can't you just go on Kickstarter and just say, "I'm doing this. Give me money," and then.
Because I like the idea that if it's called the courthouse or the courtroom, you'd have drop kicks not knowing that it's a bar, so they wouldn't want to go there. Like, hey, we're going to the courtroom. Oh, no, I don't want to go to the courtroom. Are you kidding me? You know?
Yeah. And you'd only... Yeah, I gotcha. That sounds like a cool idea. That's what the think tank is all about. It's time to move on to something we haven't done for a little while, the mailbag.
Can I have your attention, please?
Of course you have an email, you idiot. Just read it.
Yes, and we do have some mail. This one comes to us courtesy of Henry. He left a comment on the site, whosplayingwho.net. This was on Megatips. He said, "Well, thanks, Ruben, David, and James. All home wins, hey?" He said the other tips were helpful, but he's not so sure that Swansea could win at the Stadium of Light, and he thought they'd secure a draw, which they did. He's interested in Fulham's chances at home to the Hammers, and he thinks it's sort of a posh versus East End match. So, yeah, that was – he goes on. You can read the full comment on Mega Tips last week. So, great to hear from Henry. Thanks for commenting. And, you know, if you want to be featured on the mailbag, you can just be – just like Henry, leave a comment on the website whosplayingwho.net, or of course you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/whosplayingwho, or you can tweet us at whosplayingwho. You can even email us if you're old school, whosplayingwho@gmail.com, and you could be on the mailbag next week. Guys, it's time to wrap things up now. I mentioned our Facebook, our Twitter, and our website. Those are our places. It's been a great episode. We've had that was brief but fun. I really enjoyed it. So we'll say goodbye to Tomo first. Thank you for your contributions this week.
Thanks for having me back. No, always a pleasure, and look forward to being back here next week.
That's it. We're getting some nice continuity now in the weeks, which is always helpful.
Two.
Better than nothing, I guess.
Yeah, that's true. And
next week could be three. Come on. And Matt as well, thank you again.
No problem, Adrian. Once again, it was good to be here, and hopefully everyone got some insight into the world of sport tonight.
That's it. Next week, we'll be talking all about the transfer window, the Premier League, and all around Europe and Australia. That'll be shut. Plenty else happening in the world of sport next week as well, so make sure you listen in next week. Thank you for listening to this week's episode, though. And remember, for the weekend ahead, all that matters is who's playing who.